leader of the Islamic Revolution voices Iran's support for African unity and development. Governor of Iran's Bushehr province says relief operations are complete. Rebuilding begins in quake-hit areas. Iranian president warns of enemy's numerous plots against the Islamic Republic to stop nation's progress. Iran and Brunei ink 8 cooperation agreements. And Iran dismisses Canadian accusations of meddling in other countries' affairs. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iran and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has reiterated Iran's positive perspective toward African nations, emphasizing Iran's support for the development and unity of African states. During a meeting with the visiting Bruneian president, Pierre Nkurunziza, and his accompanying delegation in Tehran on Wednesday, Ayatollah Khamenei highlighted the hostile efforts of some European countries and the United States in colonizing African countries, hatching conspiracies, and sowing discord among African nations. The leader then expressed optimism that African states, including Brunei, will experience a better future characterized by steady growth and progress. Welcoming the expansion of ties between Iran and Brunei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution stressed that the African Union could serve as a power center for all African nations, and that the Islamic Republic supports further alliance of nations within this union. For his part, the Bruneian president pointed to the 28-year background of ties between Iran and Brunei and said, the main objective of his current visit is to further advance the existing relations. The governor of Iran's Bushehr province says reconstruction operations have begun in the areas of the province that were hardest hit by the recent earthquake as immediate relief efforts are completed. Fariduddin Hassan Van said, with the completion of relief and rescue operations in the quake-stricken areas, efforts to repair and rebuild water, power, and communications networks in the affected districts of Shande and Tasuj have already gotten underway. He added that the relief and medical resources such as ambulances, medical equipment, relief forces, and tent hospitals had been deployed to the affected zones. Hassan Van also stated that the latest figures following the 6.1 magnitude earthquake showed that 37 have been killed and 950 were injured. Meanwhile, the Iranian first vice president, accompanied by country's interior and health ministers, arrived in Bushehr to address the needs and difficulties of affected residents in the quake-hit areas. Mohammad Reza Rahimi told reporters that reconstruction of the quake-hit areas and houses will begin on Thursday. Rahimi also announced that the government have dedicated some grants for the victims of the earthquake. According to the Iranian Seismological Center, the powerful quake hit the town of Kaki, some 90 kilometers southeast of the provincial capital Bushehr, at 4:22 p.m. local time on Tuesday at a depth of 12 kilometers. The strong quake was followed by at least 4 major aftershocks, which jolted Kaki and the nearby city of Hormuz. Following the earthquake, leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, offered condolences and called on provincial officials to do their utmost to save as many as lives as possible and to provide enough support to the survivors of the quake. The Iranian president has warned of enemies' numerous plots against the Islamic Republic to stop nation's progress, saying the Iranian nation should thwart economic pressures by the enemies in the way of country's development process. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made a remark on Wednesday while inaugurating the second phase of Tehran North Freeway and a constructional project in northern province of Mazandaran, highlighting reliance on the ability and knowledge of the Iranians and referring to leaders naming this year as the year of political and economic epic. Ahmadinejad said, the upcoming presidential elections certainly will become a grand domestic and international political epic. stressing that the culture, dignity, and greatness of Iranian nation have been preserved by volunteer presence of Iranian people and the scene through the history. He said, if nation's magnificent management come in stream, successive epics will be created in different arenas. The Islamic Republic of Iran and the Republic of Burundi have signed 8 documents on mutual cooperation in a move to further strengthen and expand their bilateral relations. The documents and cooperation agreements were endorsed by high-ranking Iranian and Burundi officials in a ceremony attended by Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and his Burundian counterpart Pierre Nkurunziza in Tehran on Wednesday. The documents included agreements on agricultural fields, animal husbandry, training in technical and vocational fields, health sector, treatment and medical training, encouragement and reciprocal support for investment, trade cooperation, consular cooperation, and lifting visa requirements. The Burundian president is heading a high-ranking delegation, including ministers and deputy ministers, during his visit to Iran. Now, in a meeting with the visiting Nicaraguan Parliament Speaker, Sani Dinasta Rene Nunes, Iran's foreign minister expressed Tehran's willingness to share its expertise in all scientific fields with Managua. Ali Akbar Saleh described the long-standing ties between the two nations as special, adding that the exchange of visits by both countries' officials could prove beneficial to bilateral expansion of ties. Reiterating that expansion of ties with Latin American nations remain a top foreign policy priority of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Saleh voiced country's willingness to transfer Iranian scientists' experiences in the fields of agriculture, technology, and other areas with Managua. Saleh further expressed optimism about continued growth and deepening of relations between Iran and the Latin American country. For his part, Nunes underlined that relations between the Islamic Republic and Nicaragua, initiated 7 months after Iran's Islamic Revolution and 2 months after the Nicaraguan Revolution in 1979. He also expressed hope that such ties will remain strong based on trust and friendship. He also expressed condolences for the victims of Tuesday's strong earthquake which hit Iran's southern province of Bushehr. Nunes further described Iran as a developed country that can assist Nicaragua, stressing that Managua needs friends such as Iran. Head of Iran's judiciary has lauded Tehran's rational and principled stance in recent talks with the P5+1 in Almaty, Kazakhstan, saying, doors are open for talks if the Western side adopts a rational stance and avoids policy of pressure. Addressing judiciary officials, Ayatollah Sadegh Omali Larijani said, Iran's team of negotiators has adopted a very good and strong stance during talks in Almaty and that the proposals made by Iran were logical and based on principles. Ayatollah Omali Larijani rejected the Western media allegations that Iran has opposed all the proposals raised by the Western sides. He explained that the way the Westerners behave shows that they want to put more pressure on Iran, while Iran's negotiating team has offered them very positive and logical proposals. Larijani pointed out that the Iranian nation will not retreat from its nuclear rights, regardless of the sanctions and pressures imposed on the country by the West. Iran dismisses accusations by Canadian Foreign Affairs Minister John Baird that the Islamic Republic is meddling in the affairs of the Persian Gulf neighbors. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Rami Mehmanparast said, Baird's claims indicate his lack of knowledge of the realities in Iran and the region, adding that Canada has systematically and constantly violated nations' rights to the extent that the United Nations rapporteurs released a report to that effect. Mehmanparast advised the Canadian government to put on its agenda reasonable and realistic approaches and adopt recognized foreign policy traditions instead of accusing others. In a report released on December 19, 2012, Amnesty International asked Canada to address human rights abuses in the country, particularly with respect to the rights of indigenous people. And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution voices Iran's support for African unity and development. Governor of Iran's Bushehr province says relief operations are complete. Rebuilding begins in quake-hit areas. Iranian president warns of enemies' numerous plots against Islamic Republic to stop nation's progress. Iran and Burundi ink 8 cooperation agreements. And Iran dismisses Canadian accusations of meddling in other countries' affairs. A car bomb explosion has rocked Syria's northwestern province of Idlib, causing an unspecified number of casualties. According to a report by Syrian media, the blast took place when a vehicle loaded with explosives detonated in an area between the western towns of Faylun and Bakfalun on Wednesday. Reports also indicated that the bomb attack was carried out near an army checkpoint close to the military public housing area. The incident happened after the Syrian army forces cleared more regions across the crisis-hit country of foreign-sponsored militants. Syrian soldiers reportedly raided a building in the Basatin al-Rayhan neighborhood located in Syria's coastal city of Latakia earlier in the day, arresting a number of anti-Damascus militants. Syrian security forces also confiscated a large quantity of weapons, ammunition, and explosive devices in the region. French President François Hollande is setting up a new prosecutor for financial crimes. The move comes after the country's budget minister was revealed as a tax dodger with secret accounts overseas. Hollande also is requiring all cabinet members to release details of their income and assets. He also wants lawmakers to provide the same information. Political analysts say the measures were badly needed.
The president are very important and they confirm the seriousness of the president in moralizing the political life of the country. The real problem of the president is the discrepancy between the measures he's taking right now, which are badly needed, improving the morality of public life, and what the French are expecting, which is job.
Meantime, hundreds of thousands of demonstrators flooded into the capital of Paris for an anti-gay marriage march. Police were forced to fire tear gas on people protesting the bill, and dozens were arrested. Opponents said they would organize another mass protest in Paris on May 26 to demand its withdrawal and a referendum on gay marriage. The protest comes after France's Senate approved the crucial first article of a bill granting gay couples the right to marry. President François Hollande championed same-sex marriage and adoption during his election campaign last year, and his support for the legislation has not wavered throughout the turmoil. The European Commission warned that Spain and Slovenia are facing excessive problems balancing their economies. This comes while France's government was handed a stern warning to get its debt under control. The Commission further said high domestic and external debt levels continue to pose serious risks for growth and financial stability in Spain. The Commission added most EU member states had experienced a decline in export market shares and the global markets, which hampered weight and market power in world trade.
Most EU member states have seen their export market shares decline in the global markets, while those of the emerging economies have in the meantime risen. As a result, the EU member states are losing relative weight and market power in world trade. However, inside the European Union, there have been large differences. Losses in export market shares have been particularly severe in the United Kingdom, France, Italy, and Finland. For Hungary and Slovenia, exports were very dynamic, as in other catching up economies of Eastern and Central Europe.
South Korea and the United States have increased their coordinated military surveillance of North Korea amid the rising tension in the Korean Peninsula. The two countries upgraded their surveillance status on Wednesday to monitor an imminent missile test by North Korea. Meantime, China repeated its call for calm and restraint on the Korean Peninsula.
China has always believed that the Korean Peninsula should remain peaceful and stable and be denuclearized and should use dialogue and consultation to resolve problems. At present, all sides should remain calm and exercise restraint and not to take moves which provoke or irritate each other.
At least two Afghan civilians have been killed in an attack by U.S.-led forces on a bus in western Afghanistan. Local officials say a third victim was also injured after U.S.-led troopers opened fire on the bus in Afghanistan's western Herat province. The bus had been traveling behind a convoy of U.S.-led forces before it was attacked by the soldiers. Officials say the death toll may rise. Following the attack, the families of the victims and the other passengers on the bus held a protest demanding justice and called for the withdrawal of the U.S.-led forces from their country. The deaths come days after the UN said the number of civilians killed or wounded in Afghanistan dramatically increased in the first 3 months of 2013 compared to the same time last year. Meantime, an Afghan soldier has opened fire on a group of U.S.-led Lithuanian forces in central Afghanistan. Local officials say at least two U.S.-led troops were seriously wounded in Gorz Takhtaran district. The attacker is reportedly in the custody of foreign forces. Last month, at least three U.S.-led soldiers were killed in the so-called Green and Blue attacks. And finally, two patients have died of a new strain of bird flu previously unseen in humans, bringing the total number of deaths from the H7N9 virus to 9. China has confirmed 30 cases of the infection since the new strain was discovered about 2 weeks ago. Given that the H7N9 strain is considered not easily contracted by humans, there is no vaccine against the virus. The majority of humans who have died from bird flu were infected by another type of the disease, namely the H5N1 strain. Since 2003, the H5N1 strain has caused more than 360 confirmed human deaths, and tens of millions of birds have died from the virus. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.